Come over here.
I also look at a man.
There you go. Go on in there. Oh,
man. Okay. Just when you was talking about and how you put it and how we should look at it, not just talking about the physical form of how God created the heavens and the earth, mm-hmm. but to be able to look at it through the spiritual eye.
That's
when
right.
When you started talking about when Adam was without form and void, mm-hmm. okay, it really makes you know that basically everything that we have been taught has uh-huh. been really on top of the surface. Has been like, you know what I'm saying? Has
That's
been like
That's
pretty cool. much, okay, the deepest the earth they can get is the core.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. what we have been just mm-hmm. receiving is just the outside layer of the earth.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of getting the deeper roots.
Uh-huh.
You feel what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So basically, I'm looking at it also and understanding that in the beginning, not just only came just the physical things that God created, but it also came for the humanity.
That's right. That's right. And
you know, just you mm-hmm. know, I look at it just, you know, from Adam. When you brought that out, it was just something just rang in my head. Just when Adam, when it came back and said that void and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Mm-hmm. And God said, let there be light.
Mm.
Not meaning, I'm not looking at it just as light through the whole universe.
Right.
But light into the humanity of God.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's powerful.
That's right.
That's powerful.
That's right.
But it's amazing how
the awareness.
People are taught.
Yeah.
Conscious.
Yeah.
Conscious.
That's right.
That's powerful. That's
in
powerful.
Any given situation. Because you start thinking about here, you start thinking about situations.
Mm-hmm.
God is not the author of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the thing about it is it becomes situation. See, when I think about this, I'm thinking about, okay, I should be bringing light to situations that are form and voidness. You see what I'm saying?
That's wild.
I can come into a situation that is without form and void, a situation that is empty or undistinguishable.
Mm-hmm.
Come on here. Without purpose and bring purpose.
Right.
That's in the wilderness and bring it out of the wilderness. That's vain and bring, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
The confusion. That, see, and bring order to what has had confusion. By that light that is in me,
mm-hmm.
gives me that God quality
mm-hmm.
to bring it out of that created darkness and form light into that situation.
That's right.
That's so powerful.
That's it powerful. Right there.
And I really think that's why the scriptures go through, you know, saying like, ye are the salt of the earth,
mm-hmm.
ye are the light of the world.
Oh,
so in
come
you,
on here.
You know, when he talks about the one that the will in you
uh-huh.
shall be a will springing up to
uh-huh.
everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
See what he's doing? He's connecting
powerful.
The dots.
That's
he's
right.
starting to run through them scriptures.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like, man, you can go to situations where, you know, people need to be fed or people thirst, and you can
mm-hmm.
provide them that water that you have springing up out of you, the spirit that you have springing out of you.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That light, you know, you can come into a situation that has an immense darkness, but your light can shine
come on,
in the yeah. midst of that.
That's
you
right.
You know what I'm saying? You are the salt of the earth. You know, I think Mark Hamby was one of the ones that actually broke down that salt of the earth the best, is because when we are the salt of the earth, it means that we are influential people.
Come on here.
You know what I'm saying? We provide that savor, that influence.
That's
you
right.
know what
that's
I'm
right.
saying?
That's right.
And I feel like that's truly what happens when we have that light. When that light is able to shine,
mm-hmm.
you know, from inside out.
Right.
You know, that's truly what we're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're influential.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's powerful.
Get on in there, Juanita.
I'm in there. I agree.
What else you seeing now? That's good, Harry. That's real good. That's real
powerful.
Good. That's real good. That's powerful. All the points y'all are bringing out are powerful.
Yeah.
So that's what it means. Unusual root meaning empty. It means superficially, undistinguishable, ruined, or emptiness. And I like that because the thing about it is the Hebrew means that it means to be empty.
Mm.
It's one thing to be empty. It's one thing to be an empty place. It's one thing to be empty. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just completely void. There's nothing there. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. That's powerful for me.
Yeah.
That's powerful for
that's
me.
Powerful.
Empty on the inside. I'm gonna let you get to your point in just a minute, Perry. But what's one thing people feel like in life? They feel what?
Empty.
Mm, that's it.
Yeah.
I need to be filled.
They feel void.
I need fulfillment.
Fulfillment. And that's one of the biggest things in the world today, is right? It's fulfillment. And one way we try to take that, use that to try to be fulfilled in life is we try to identify with people.
Mm.
Uh-huh. We try to identify with places. Yes.
That's right.
People try to identify with gangs. Mm. Or they try to, and look, take it on the other end. We talk about people affiliating with gangs, but some people affiliate with certain church groups.
That's right. Uh-huh.
See, you could do it on different extremes and don't know it. These guys are murdering people on the streets with their guns, but these people are murdering people with their religion.
Sure is. Mm.
Which becomes more powerful, to murder your spirit and say God ain't in you because you ain't doing it my way, or to shoot you down with a 38? What's more important, the body or the spirit? What are you murdering? You murdering the minds of individuals.
It's just as dangerous
because it says you're not identifying with me. Jesus said, sheep I have of other fold. Remember what they said. Shall we call down fire is what the disciples said on these group of people. Shall we call down fire? You pointed that out one time before. Shall we call down fire? And what did he say? He said, do you know what spirit you are? You know, that's the thing. Since you don't identify with me, come on here, we begin to be exclusive. The thing about it is, we murder people through our tongues. We murder them through, and we use the word of God to do it because this is a sword too. And they that live by the sword die by the sword.
Come on, man.
So while you're cutting somebody else off, you're turning it even on your own self. And the tool that should have been used to heal, that's why I said I'm like a surgeon. A surgeon uses a knife too, but he don't use it to cut the individual in order to take life. He does it in order to preserve it. So are you using this to preserve life, or are you using it to kill life? Or are you using it at all? But you understand what I'm saying? We through identify. This is the thing. This becomes powerful because when we look later on when we go through this Genesis, we walking through this now. But later on, we'll go through Genesis. What did Eve do? Eve ate the fruit because she was looking for something to fulfill her on the inside by going to something on the outside to fulfill who she was on the inside.
Exactly.
Not knowing. That's why I said the main question in all of the world today is identity.
Yeah.
Scientists explore all the spans of space and earth for one thing. Who are we and where do we come from?
Mm.
Who do we identify with? Who are we? You understand what I'm saying? Some people identify themselves just by their skin color. Some by their height. Some by anything. But for man, it's always a question of trying to fulfill the emptiness that he feels on the inside. And we try to do things to be validated by people and for people. Or we try to validate, you understand what I'm saying here? Or we try to, can we turn it up a notch? Can we go a little deeper?
Let me go and turn it up.
While we're in here, we might as well go a little deeper.
Let's go ahead.
So we might as well go a little deeper. Because the thing about it is, a lot of times we feel this emptiness and void. Isn't it strange that you can have God and still feel empty? Isn't it strange that you can be in God and still feel empty?
Can we explore that a little bit?
Yeah.
That's a powerful concept because I feel like a lot of times what we were talking about before, when one becomes stagnant in God, and they don't continue, to move forward or press forward, they become complacent and content with where they are, then I feel like God is a moving God, so he continues to move and you stay in one spot, you know, and I feel like when we begin to stop evolving in God and transforming in God, that's when we have that emptiness. That's when we have that void in our lives because God still wants to take us places. He still wants to show us things, but we limit ourselves because of our stagnation, of our own stagnation.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I feel like that's one aspect of it.
That's right. And we also feel empty in God. And I'm going to take it from another point of view.
Mm-hmm.
might well just take the whole panoramic view while we're looking at it.
All right.
I'm looking at you like crazy. When we look at God, the Bible says God is a consuming fire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Therefore, have you ever thought about fire? Fire constantly needs to feed off something.
That's it.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? It's constantly.
I like where you're going with this. Go ahead.
So great. It constantly has to feed off of something. So when we look at God, we look at him like he is a fire. Mm-hmm. You know, we have that syndrome that God is a fire. So what do you have to do with a fire in order to keep a fire going? You have to feed it something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to give it something. Oh, so this constant of wanting to please God, mm-hmm. we're constantly throwing something, some wood in the fire, feeling that this God of fire is not pleased with us.
Oh, gotcha.
You understand what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. And therefore lends itself to this voidness and the emptiness that we constantly feel because maybe I haven't done enough for God. Mm. I haven't done enough for him. So that brings me back to this being empty and formless because I feel that I haven't done enough. So I set myself out to start to do things for God.
Gotcha.
And I'm constantly trying to feed what I feel is a fire of him being happy and pleased with me because of what I'm doing.
And every time...
Go ahead.
And as they feed whatever it is to the fire, and when it start burning, they feel a little heat. They feel like they really...
Right.
You have you know what I'm saying? Then, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's
and then
right.
after that wear off.
That's
they
right.
got to do something else.
And that's really not feeding God. You're feeding the beast.
That's it.
Their mind.
You're feeding the beastly mentality of your mind. It's the beast that constantly need to be fed.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, what you don't realize is that you are. If God is consumed with fire, the thing about it is that you and him are the same.
So you are consumed.
You are in the fire. You are part of the fire.
So you don't
you
have.
You are with the fire. So the thing about it is, you don't have to do to please. You see what I'm saying here?
So
all you have to do is be, and then it'll come out of. It's what comes out of the fire, not what goes in the fire.
Mm.
We're constantly trying to put something in the fire.
So it's like we're working like what we said one time before. We're working trying to be like God.
Right.
When we are already.
Here. That's right. Mm. So that's where a lot of this voidness, though.
It's because we don't know
think
who
about
we
that,
are.
That emptiness. Feel so empty. How can you be going to church every Wednesday or every Sunday and still feel so empty? Still feel so void.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Still feel like you haven't, you know, I don't have anything. You wake up in the morning. In fact, you know, you're all going to always going to have your moments where you wake up. But it's constantly wearing down yourself that you haven't done enough.
Yeah.
Making you feel voidness, empty. It's making you feel all those things purposeless,
mm-hmm.
confused.
Yeah.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
Hitting it from all corners. Go.
And I feel like you said this all ties back to identity. Because mm-hmm. the thing is, when one is not truly aware or convinced of who they are,
mm-hmm.
then they feel like they always have to do something to become this
mm-hmm.
when they already are this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's actually like we talked about before, the true definition of sin is a mistaken identity.
That's it.
You know, you're not truly convinced of who you are. And we have to understand that, you know, and actually, like you said, tying this with the scriptures, I feel like scriptures really, you know, do bring to life. I think it's Hebrews 2:11 when it talks about, for both he that sanctifieth and those who are sanctified are all of one.
That's right.
He is not ashamed to call them brethren.
Right? That's right.
And I feel like that's one of the main reasons why Christ died for us. He died for us so that we could identify with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about that identity. And like we talked about before with Gary Sigler, it was like so many times, and we talked about it too,
yeah.
so many times, you know, I asked God for righteousness until I woke up one morning and found out that righteousness was already
in.
Come on here.
That's fine.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's kind of what the law, that was the fruit of the law, was that void and that emptiness, because it always pointed you at something that you were not doing.
That's right.
Without never instilling in you that everything you search for, everything you desire is already in you. Therefore, you can never reach for something outside without first reaching inside.
That's right.
Because inside is everything.
Inside is everything.
In order to clearly in order to clearly get an accurate perspective of the world first you have to have that perspective of yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So what you're saying in the nutshell is that we have all things but not aware of all things.
That's it right there.
Not conscious of all things.
That's it. That's it. That's powerful.
So we're not consciously aware of what we have in our possession. That would be just like Napoleon Hill said in that book. We're just 3 feet away from gold.
3 feet away.
So within us, we're just 3 feet away.
Mm. Yeah.
We had to get you that book.
That's powerful. Because I know, like we was talking, man, it's a talent or gift that you never thought you had, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If it's from sports or if it's from playing instruments, you know, like we was talking. And the first time you do it, you know that you're good of, you know, you're good in it, you know. And then I also look at it also when he was talking about the fire and how both of them have to be able to work in together instead of feeding into that fire.
That's right.
You know, one thing me and Harry was talking about when Paul was saying that I died with Christ, that he died with Christ on the Calvary. He died on Christ with the cross, meaning that himself, he had to die for Christ to be able to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I also look at, if you're talking about the physical fire, I also look at it.
Go ahead.
You have layers of fire. You have blue flames and you have, what is the orange, the yellow flames.
Mm-hmm.
And without the blue flames, there will be no yellow flames.
Come
they
say
the blue flames is more hotter than the yellow or mm-hmm. orange flames.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at it by we with God.
Mm.
You feel what I'm saying?
Mm.
That makes up that burning consuming fire keeps it going.
That's right.
That blue flame keeps that for that orange and yellow flames to keep it going.
That's right.
And that's powerful, man.
I gotta break that down chemically. I'm gonna have to look up. I'm gonna have to look at that.
Yeah, that's look powerful. That up.
I'm gonna have to look that up.
That's good.
That's powerful.
That's good. And could the blue flame, and the thing about it is, could the blue flame be symbolic of a heavenly flame?
Come on.
Could the red be from the earthly flame? So therefore you need the blue.
Uh-huh.
Let me look that.
That would be a good one to go back and look at.
Oh, blue I got flame. That scientific flame. Like that.
Blue flame, red.
Tell us about that.
What color?
That's powerful.
Tell us about that flame. That sounds good.
And that's so powerful, Carlos, because the way I look at it, man, everything that God created, you know, it could only find purpose within itself.
That's right.
That's just like the earth itself. You know, everything that the earth needed to sustain, it could pull from itself. Even the early, you know, immigrants like the Indians,
mm-hmm.
what they were able to find out is that if they needed food, they could pull that right out of the earth.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Therefore, truly, and even in Genesis, when it talks about that the seeds or the fruit, you know, bearing fruit of their kind.
That's right.
You know, it means that the life that you seek is already within you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even the earth, the life that it seeks is within itself.
That's right. It's a self-contained unit. It don't need anything. The earth is an island within itself because everything it needs, it has. It can pull right
that's
out
powerful.
Of itself.
That's powerful.
I hear what you're saying. That's powerful.
That's powerful.
That's powerful. Good God Almighty.
That is amazing.
Woo! Anybody got? Let's look at Jeremiah 4:23.
Okay.
Somebody read that for
me.
Jeremiah 4:23. Jeremiah, let's put this on.
Yeah, you said
4:23. We also went over Isaiah 2 if you want to put down. Isaiah 45:7.
Yeah, Genesis 1.
45:7.
Yeah.
What was that scripture you gave? You gave the scripture
too.
I forgot what it was. We'll go back and find it. We'll hunt that one down.
I gave out Hebrews 2:11 about those who sanctify.
Who got that? Somebody ready to read that?
I beheld the earth, and lo, and it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light.
Come over here now.
I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down of the presence of the Lord and his fierce anger. For thus has the Lord says, the whole land shall be desolate. Yet. Yet will I not make a full end, for this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black. Because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will... let me read that again.
You said it right.
Nah, I know I read it right. I got to read it again. Because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and will not repent. Neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into the thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwelleth therein.
Stop right there. Look at verse 22 first. It says, for my people is foolish, and they have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have not no knowledge.
You can be wise to do evil.
That's right. Ain't that powerful? Wise to do evil.
Yeah, he's all right.
And then he goes into verse 23 and says, and I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without what?
Form and void.
But then verse 22 gives an explanation. That first he started talking about what? The people.
The people.
Not having knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Not knowing me. Wise to do evil, but not good. And then he goes in and says, I beheld. You see how he flips?
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's one thing you got to know about scripture. You got to know how it dies. I told you about this a long time ago, how it dives in and come back out.
Mm-hmm.
It dives in because it has peaks and valleys. That's what he means by, he said, yeah, I'm going to make every valley, every valley up high, and every mountain I'm going to bring low. Once you do that, you make it an even ground. But what the scripture is doing here is through revelation, he's dipping in and out through revelation. And that's what God does. He's dipping in and out through his revelation of scriptures. See, sometimes he stays. What I mean by that is, well, sometimes he stays in the context of scripture, but then he takes a spiritual deep dip out. Just like, how can I use that as an example? So much to teach you. How can I use it as an example? When Isaiah is talking to Hezekiah, the king, he says, he says unto him, and this shall be the sign unto you, a virgin shall be with child. Mm-hmm. And he says that to King Hezekiah 700 years before Christ is born.
That's weird.
So he wouldn't even be around to see that sign.
Right.
But he told him, the sign to you shall be. So is he talking to King Hezekiah? See, what happened to the Spirit of the Lord?
Right.
Because he is absence of time. There is no time with him. The thing about it is, he can make a statement at any time. But what God is doing is, he's veering. He's talking to King Hezekiah in the present. And he dips into the Spirit. Out of time. And then comes back into time. Right within the context of Scripture.
That's okay.
He's diving in and out. In and out. That's why Isaiah means here a little, there a little.
That's what it means.
That's what it means. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. God is using the whole broad text of scripture to build a whole revelation. It's like he's building a house. But when he builds a house, he uses a brick here, and a brick here, and a brick here, and a brick here, and he's putting it all together. He takes a little bit here.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So they dive it in inside, outside of Revelation. Like when he's talking to, in the beginning, when he's talking to Adam and Eve after they sin. Remember, he looks at the woman and says, he looks at the woman and he says unto her, he actually is talking to the serpent.
Yeah.
And he says, and he shall bruise thy heel. And he's talking to them, but he's not talking to them. He's talking to them who will one day read the scriptures. He's talking to us, talking to them. He shall build a hill. So the thing about it is, he's already telling us what's going to happen.
Gotcha.
He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And the thing about it is, what God is doing is through that, he's diving in and out. Using prophecy to dive in and out of what's telling us what's going to happen or some spiritual matters. And that's what he's doing here. He's diving in and out through revelation. And he does that constantly through scripture. He'll say something to the present generation and dive in. He'll dive out by saying something to them that has nothing to do with them at all. It is referencing to a whole nother time and a whole nother spiritual place that has nothing to do with them. And that takes skill to go through scripture to be able to see that. What you
going to
say here?
That's why they didn't understand what he was saying a lot of times.
So that's what he's doing here. He said, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sodomous children. They have none understanding. Talking about the children of Israel. He said, they are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have what? No knowledge. Then he stopped and said, I beheld, look, see. Right? The earth. Mm-hmm. And lo, it's without form and void. And the heavens. Ain't that powerful? Mm-hmm. And they had no what? Light. So what did he see? The same thing that he saw that we're looking at now. In Genesis, he's talking about the people in that same context, in that same reference. Gotcha. Because this is how the earth and the heavens look before light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Form and void. Gotcha. Okay.
Empty. That's powerful. And they had no light.
Mm. Wow. That's why I'm trying to tell you that this is talking more about people than it is just talking about when and what time God created things.
Okay.
Trying to give you an explanation saying that God created the heavens and the earth, or God created this. God don't really need to explain that to you, because you wouldn't understand it to start with. Even what you think you understand, you don't understand.
Don't understand.
Right? Y'all looking crazy. What do y'all see?
Man, really what I see is that, man, to me, everything that God himself creates or he commands man to create or establish or construct, it all has a spiritual significance behind it. It's not just building something so that it looks nice, but it's actually an order that's behind it. There's a spiritual significance that's behind it. Everything that he either created, whether he created the waters, the trees, whatever, or if he got man to construct Tabernacle of Moses or Solomon's temple, you know, all of them, you know, are giving us some understanding or steps into coming to his fullness.
Yeah, what he's doing.
You know what I'm saying?
That's powerful.
That's pretty much what I see from looking at it like that, man.
Yeah, well, what I look at, you know, I look at that one verse, and I know we pulled a lot out of here so far tonight, out of that one verse. I look at what is in my life that is void and formless. That I'm not aware that I have the ability to bring light to. And it starts a domino effect, because if I bring light into those void or empty places within my own heaven and earth, it would bring a domino effect, an effect not on life of my kids, but my children's children. Therefore, it'll knock down the dominoes of everything that are around me. Not to the aspect of that I need those things on the outside to be corrected. See, that's another thing. See, it ain't like I need those things and those people on the outside to change as much as it is I need to change.
That's it, because you affect.
And even if they don't become aware, it's not that I'm not aware that I have changed.
And that's powerful.
Right. That's powerful.
See, and see, that's the difference. See, this is a powerful thing when you jump into the mind of God. We do righteousness because that's what we are, not for any reward. You do right because it's right. Come on, kid. That is not about reward. It's about who you are, and that's what brings peace. That's what brings joy. We do right because we're right. That's where we come from, and that's what we come out of.